I'm Melissa.
And I'm Lizzie.
Welcome back to Sisters to the Savior. I love that. That never gets old. I hope you guys had a good Mother's Day.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day to all the moms and just everyone out there.
Yeah, and I know that may look different for everyone, but just know that God sees you and, you know, even if it was not as a happy day for some, you know, he's still with you.
Yeah. So, how was your week, Alyssa?
It was good. I'm finally not sick anymore.
Yeah.
So. Bro, Lizzie got sick too.
It was an attack.
Yeah, seriously. Mm-hmm. But we're back and healthy now.
And we have our coffees again. When
do we have? Of course, Cali coffee. If you've never had it,
you gotta go.
Yeah, it's life changing.
It really is. They opened one right by where we film, so.
Terrible for my pocket.
Me too, but so good.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, today we were gonna just kind of get into what it's like to hear God's voice and kind of our own lives, and then also touch into the Bible on someone specific who heard God's voice and didn't obey, and just kind of what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like we can all relate to that, you know. But yeah,
so kick it off. Alyssa has a very interesting story that I just think it's so cool.
Yeah, I've never had anything like this ever happen to me, because I would always see, you know, people going out and like they would go up to a random person and tell them something that they would have, like, there's no way they could have known this besides from God. And so this is like, and I was thinking about it recently when this happened. And so basically I was working at my job, and I work in like a restaurant right now, but I was cleaning off a table, and there was this older lady with her daughter. They were just having dinner, and I was cleaning off a table a little further behind them, and I just remember hearing a voice saying, go up to the lady and tell her you're sorry for your loss, but that, like, I see her and I'm here. And I was like, that's kind of weird. Like, I'm gonna go up to her and she's gonna look at me like I have two heads. Like, who died? Like, what? You know, I was just, and I was going back and forth about it, and I was like, that's weird. I'm not gonna go up to this lady and say that. And so I remember after she was, I was near the register, and her daughter and her came up, and they were paying, and they were talking to the cook, and I remember her daughter saying, yeah, so her husband just passed away. I think it was her father as well, and I just, my heart sank. I was like, oh my goodness. And then I heard, why did you doubt me? Mm-hmm. And that was just, I was like, wow, if I would have went up to her and said that, who knows, like, I could have, I don't know, changed her life and just had that spiritual moment, and I'll never forget that. And it was just so crazy, because that, nothing like that has ever happened to me before. Mm. How? That's just,
yeah. That's one of those things that it's from God, like,
literally,
you can't,
yeah. How, I'm sorry for your loss, and
someone you don't know, and they weren't, you know, telling, yeah, talking about it.
And I just wish I would have listened. It's, yeah, it's one of those things where you just, you can't doubt. Yeah.
But it's beautiful, like, instead of, like, focusing on, like, dang, I didn't do it, I feel like, you know, shifting the focus, like, you do that, at least you heard his voice.
That's true.
Some people go their whole lives and never get to experience something like that. Mm-hmm. And now, maybe it kind of took you to a new level of discernment where, you know, you can kind of tell when it's his voice.
True. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if it happens again,
yeah, mm-hmm, no, for sure,
and you could be given a second chance, just like someone we know in the Bible.
So true. Yes, oh my goodness.
Yeah anything else you want to say about it, or you want to
no, I mean, that's, I was just really like, dang, I, who knows what would have happened if, yeah, I would have went up to her, you know.
And but he had a different plan, or he took it and made it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, if he wants her to encounter God in that way,
yeah,
she, mm-hmm, will.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Wow.
But it's beautiful he tried to use you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's okay. No, I'm proud of you at least. Sorry, my stomach growled if you didn't hear that. But, you know, I don't even remember what I was going to say after that growl. This happens every time.
I know.
Yeah, I'm a little hungry.
But okay. Yeah, me too.
Okay. Yeah. So should we get into it if you want to start? Or if you want to, like, briefly even explain.
So, yeah. So we're going to get into a little bit of Jonah. And so Jonah thought he could just run away from God.
Like, literally run. Like, we're not
as
being
if you could hide from him. Yeah. As if he can't see you.
Yeah.
And the patience that God had with him.
Oh.
Just, this story honestly makes me laugh. Just the, like, I wonder what he's just running from God. Like, let me, I'm not, he's like, no, I'm not going to Nineveh. Like, no. And he's arguing. Like, I just, I feel like we can all relate to that.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little bit. Yeah. So, okay. So I'm just going to read verse 1 through 4. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. I'm sorry, guys.
Amittai?
That's Amittai? Okay.
We're trying.
Yeah. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. This is like...
You're doing good. You're doing so good.
No, I just... The words and, like, they're so big. Like, the vocabulary, like... Okay. he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. So he's currently literally just, he's like, I'm out. Like, I don't know I don't know what he was thinking, though. What did he think was going
to
happen?
I was about to say, did he think he could just go and everything would be great?
Right? Like, if God is calling you to do something.
You do it.
Yeah.
Because what's on the other side of it?
Exactly, there must be a reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Versus hiding from it. I don't know. And then to not have him on, like, in support of what you're doing.
Yeah, right?
That would kind of just freak me out,
personally. Exactly. Like, it wouldn't work out because he wouldn't be blessing it.
Yeah.
So, I'm just going to skip down because it's kind of...
just a bunch of stuff of... The men on the ship who were like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You pissed off your God. And
yeah, they were like, who? They were asking, who is the reason for this? Like, why is there a storm? So, Jonah was like, it's me. Like, this is my fault.
Yeah, and the fact that he was aware, too, I find interesting.
Yeah, but he knew that guilty conscience.
Yeah, but it's also, in a sense, admirable that at least he stepped up.
True.
And took, you know what I mean?
He took responsibility.
Like, as much as he was a character in the Bible who, you know, was running and all these things, at this point, he, you know, took ownership of it and accepted, like, I need to be punished for this, not being like, oh, like, spare me.
Yeah, you know? That's so true. He could have kept quiet, but he was like...
Just do it.
Yeah. He's like, it's my fault, guys. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so we could give him some, like, you know, good job.
Yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
So, he says... to the men, pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. So then I'm going to skip to verse 15. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Which I think, honestly, I think God had a plan, like, to turn those men on the ship too. Yeah. So
it all
worked actually
out.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. In your situation, like, you know, it gave you a push of faith of like, wow, he's talking to me.
That's true.
And even if in that moment you didn't get to say that to her, maybe at some other point she will be touched by Jesus. So you know what I mean? He's not gonna let that just, you know what
that's
I mean?
True, because he already knew
that
I wasn't going to, which is just so,
it's crazy.
Yeah,
but yeah. Okay, so now I'm going to read pretty much the entirety of Jonah chapter 2. Okay. So, starting in... Oh, actually, no. it's the end of chapter 1, verse 17, and then starting chapter 2. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And then really quick, just to stop, even though I just started reading, we just wanted to talk about the significance of the 3 days and three nights and how the similar way of Jesus and, you know, the tomb, 3 days, three nights, and
the significance with the number three.
Yeah, like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because just before this episode, we were kind of talking about it, and Alyssa had brought that up. And I was like, huh. Like, obviously, you know it's the 3 days, but I really never sat back and was like, three? Like, huh? But yeah, it's the Trinity. And just how Jesus goes on, you know, later, to link his life to the prophet Jonah. And even though they were different, just the similarities in the story, how, you know, Jonah was a disobedient prophet, whereas Jesus was the true obedient prophet. And then with the storm that threatened the lives of the crew, Jonah and Jesus both slept deeply in the boat and had to be awakened, but Jonah's crew threw him into the sea, but Jesus told the wind and the waves to be still, and they obeyed his voice. So even though there's a similarity, it's how they responded. Yeah, that's why I feel like I've heard this story before, but I've never had someone really go deep into it. Like, they're like, oh, he was running away, oh, his calling, but it's so much more than that. And it's so interesting. Like,
God is, like, there are so many little details. So many. And I swear, every time you read it, you find a new detail.
I thought it was interesting, too. So in Matthew 12, Jesus had told the Pharisees, I will give you a sign, but it's not the kind of sign you want. It's a sign of judgment for your resistance towards God. And then, so how Jonah almost drowned under the wrath of God for not listening, and he spent 3 days in the belly of the fish and was brought out alive on the other side to carry out his job to go to Nineveh. We have the contrast of Jesus, a very much better and more perfect version of Jonah, who was engulfed under God's wrath at Calvary's cross. He spent 3 days in the belly of the earth and then came out alive on the other side to carry out his job to the nations through his followers. So they both came out alive after the 3 days, but obviously Jesus was, you know, the better, more perfect version. But that three is significance. And, you know, he gave them the sign of Jonah. Like, did I explain that well, you think?
No,
we
yeah.
can cut this, but.
Yeah. No, it's perfect.
Anyways, okay. So back to reading now. We're Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to me cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down, the earth beneath barred me in forever. Sorry, guys. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land.
Wow.
I just love it.
Right. I can't imagine being inside of a fish. I'm like...
Don't get me started. I would be doing the same thing. God.
Yeah.
I give it all to you.
Oh my goodness. I could not imagine.
I know. But I mean...
Yeah.
I just think it's... Like, as much as like... Again, like, the story, I've always been presented it towards me as, like, or it's always been presented towards me as, he did this, and he ran away, and but, I mean, look at him. He's like, look, I did this wrong, God, and, you know, I'm praising you.
It's true.
Yeah, and I just find it interesting, too, like, when he goes on throughout Jonah and is kind of frustrated that God wants to save the people of Nineveh. Mm-hmm. At least he's being honest with God, and he's like, listen, like, I didn't want to do this because I just don't think they deserve it.
Right.
And that openness, that honesty, gives a place for God to come and correct you. But mm-hmm. if you're hiding it, putting it away and running, what can he do?
Very true.
So I feel like it also is a story that highlights the importance of just being honest. And like, there's not necessarily fully something wrong with not wanting to do something, because sometimes your feelings are deceptive and whatever, your flesh, all that. But it's just the idea of you be honest and do what God wants you to do anyways, despite how you feel about it.
Exactly.
Because he knows mm-hmm. better.
Mm-hmm. And you can obviously try to run away from it, but if God is calling you to do something, it's going to happen. Like, nothing can stop what God has called you to do, despite how you feel.
And you can't hide. That's like just having this conversation with someone literally last night about talking about original sin with Adam and Eve, and how mm-hmm. all of a sudden they were ashamed and were trying to hide themselves.
Yeah.
So
all sin coincides with shame and
and condemnation, mm-hmm. which isn't from God. So if you're sinning and hiding from him, that's the first thing. Even me, in these past few months, I'm hiding from God. I'm hiding from my friends, my community.
Mm-hmm. But then once you take that responsibility, like Jonah did, he took responsibility. Yeah. And, you know.
And like I said, it's just much better to come to these people, say, I'm struggling, I'm doing this, I don't know right from wrong, and just be honest and willing to mm-hmm. be taught versus just running.
Yeah, that's why it's so important to at least have one person that you can go to mm-hmm. and, you know, be able to, like, even hold you accountable.
Accountability partner. Mm-hmm. Even I was also just having this conversation last night about, I found times where, obviously I have you and I have people in my life, but let's say I'm in a different state or I'm feeling isolated. I love, like, people with online ministries and things like that, girls our age, that can, you know, not necessarily hold you accountable because they're on a screen, but to see them, you know, not only talking about the word, but living it,
mm-hmm.
that in a sense has held me accountable at times, because I'm like, look at these people, these women I look up to.
Yeah, exactly.
So even just having mm-hmm. a role model, a mentor,
mm-hmm.
as well as an accountability partner is so important.
Yeah, it definitely helps.
Yeah, 100%.
Because we're not meant to, you know, go through it alone and bottle it up.
Yeah, but that's like, I struggle a lot with my, like, hyper independence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even having a podcast with someone else, like, it's not bad, but it's, like, testing parts of myself that just want to go off on my own and hide and deal with everything by myself.
Yeah.
But we were meant to be in partnership. Mm. What is it where it's, like, when two or more are gathered, is it three or more?
Oh, when two or three are gathered in my name, it surely will be done.
Yeah.
Or heard, and, it's very powerful. Mm-hmm. I love that verse.
I think about that all the time, because mm-hmm. I feel like I'm in a season where I'm, like, being taught, like, how to actually be in community and not let every little thing get to me, and I run and I go hide, like Jonah, and you miss out on blessings and purpose because you're so
mm-hmm.
I'm like a crab. I like to be in my shell.
Me too, in some ways. For sure,
like homebodies and shy.
I love being home.
Me too. But it's like, we're called.
Mm-hmm. We're called to, you know, step out on purpose.
Yeah. And then we also just wanted to highlight, too, the idea that God loved Nineveh so much that he would not allow Jonah to fail.
Exactly. He had such a purpose because he cared for the people in Nineveh. He was like, no, they're not following my way. I need you to go and direct them. And, like, God chased after Jonah because he was chasing after the people of Nineveh.
Yeah, and how Jonah, you know, he's like, these people don't deserve your grace. He didn't understand because, you know, you're a human on here. You don't see everything. You don't have the grace of God.
Right.
But I am assuming from God's perspective, it's like, you are also a sinner. Like, mm-hmm. In your eyes, maybe these people are sinning worse, but, you know, it's all, you're also someone who could be argued that doesn't deserve the grace.
Exactly.
None of us do. But he gives it to us anyways. So that's why, in this position, I always say, like, you don't want to play God. Like, Jonah being like, well, they don't deserve this, so since God's telling me, I won't give it to them. Like, that is not up to us to decide.
Right. Because God knows all of our hearts. Yeah. He knows.
He made them.
Exactly. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's not up to us. And even at the end where he's talking about the gourd, the plant, and last time we Bible studied this, I was so confused. I literally would not shut up about it. I'm like, what is he saying to him? It's 4, right?
Yeah,
chapter 4, verse 10. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, verses 10 and 11, where he says, "But the Lord said, 'You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?"
Yeah, because he was basically saying, you didn't care before, so why are you getting mad about me trying to help them if they don't even know the difference between their right hand and their left hand?
Yeah, they need help. And I feel like he was saying, like, there's this random plant here that you have nothing to do with. You didn't make this plant. You didn't tend to it. And you're so concerned about this, but I made the people of Nineveh. It's, you know, mm-hmm. I tend to them. I care about them. And you're asking why I care about them, but you care about a gourd?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it took me a long time to understand these verses, guys. I don't know why. Because the way it was framed, I'm like, God, what are you trying to say? Like, grammatically, I was a little confused.
At first, I didn't understand. So I'm really glad that you had asked those questions.
I would not shut up. I went home after, and I'm sitting there watching a hockey game. I would not leave this person I was with alone. I was like, do you see this? Like, what does this mean? And then we're like in the KJV version and then the NIV, and I'm like, and then they're talking about a gourd, but in here they don't, it's a plant. Just know, guys, it's very this is profound.
Very
profound.
Wow. Ugh.
I just love it.
Jonah was so angry at the Lord's compassion for these people. He just really could not understand.
When I understand that as well, I feel like something like that goes along with my hyper independence is like, I don't know how I would word this, just sometimes I look at certain situations and I'm like, well, this person didn't do this, so why is that happening? Or this person did do this, so is that happening? All these things. And I have to remind myself, like, I don't know it all, and thank God I don't. I really don't. That's so stressful, please. Mm-hmm. But you know what I mean? So you just have to be like, if God wants to give this person grace, then I embrace that. And you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If I have a negative feeling, anything, I'm like, you know what? I should pray for this person.
Yes, exactly. Always revert your mind
back to that. Mm-hmm. That we're just talking about that too. Like, you feel the urge to gossip, to say something about someone. Someone hurts your feelings. Even yesterday, the dumbest thing in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru, I asked for ranch, right? And I was like, can we get ranch for both orders? And the girl was like, oh, I'll give you 3 ranch. But it was like kind of shady, okay?
3.
Yeah, and dude, if you know me. But I was like,
Lizzie
was
loves
angry.
Ranch, by the way.
Yeah. Like, I love Chick-fil-A ranch specifically, okay? God bless. I love that ranch. And so you know me, I'm like, ugh, 3 ranch. But you know what I did?
Did you ask for an extra one?
No, you know, I said, you know what? Oh,
3. Why so specific? That's what I was saying. 3.
3. Oh my gosh. Phew. No, but it's funny because what I'm about to say, it was a moment where God, like, humbled me over ranch. Bro, I used to have a mini fridge full of these things. Like, I'm addicted. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I turned to my boyfriend and I was like, I'm really angry. And he kind of looked at me and I'm like, you know what? God bless that girl. And as we're driving away, I'm like, you know what? That really made me angry because I felt like she, like, thought I was greedy or something. But I was like, you know what, like, God bless her, you know what I mean? It's not my job to be like, well, she didn't give me 3 ranches, so did it. No. God bless her, and God bless everyone in that Chick-fil-A.
Yep. Just like when Paul says, like, also make every thought obedient to Christ.
Yeah, like, even something, it's so trivial. Like, obviously I have deeper issues than ranch, I just find it funny, but like, even in the smallest things that, you know, go over your head, or someone cuts you off in traffic and you want to be like, you want to say things, but you know what? God bless this person. Everyone I come by now that makes me angry, I'm like, you have a blessed day. Mm-hmm. And it just, my anger, gone.
Yeah.
It's so interesting.
I've never even honked at a person before. Yeah, I was driving home one night, oh my gosh, and the light was green. And, like, I was coming up to it, and this car is just, like, sat. And the light had, like, turned green, and I'm like, so I changed lanes. I didn't even beep to let them know, like, the light was green, because I was just like, let me just move out of the way. Like, there was, like, really no cars on the road, so. But I was like, Yeah, should see, I have beeped? Maybe to let them know, but I don't like to beep because I don't like when people honk at me. You.
See, Alyssa has a heart of gold. One thing about her, she's kind. I'm getting there. You know, I did honk literally 2 days ago. But in my defense, he was in the middle.
Okay.
And I... But yeah. Yeah. We're all a work in progress, just like Jenna.
Yeah, exactly. But... No, I think this story really just calls us to, like, we really must not run from what God is calling us to do.
Yeah.
And no matter how we feel, like you said.
Yeah, it's funny, I'm looking in my Bible, and it's Jonah chapter 4, verse 4, and I have it underlined, and it literally says, "Is it right for you to be angry?" And clearly that stuck out to me.
That is so true.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just to reflect, like,
yeah.
And I feel like that's also him saying, in a sense, like, you ran away, yeah, but is God angry?
No,
maybe he has a little bit of a feeling, but is he
true
honking at him?
He didn't, well, he did put him in a fish,
yeah, out of, not, I don't want to say punishment necessarily, but like lesson.
That's true, but he, yeah, had a purpose for it, like, yeah, clearly it was meant to happen, like he made, yeah, it, he made it good, even though that wasn't what was necessarily supposed to happen.
Yeah.
He still had a purpose behind it.
And he still made him go back to Nineveh. It's like,
exactly.
Oh my gosh.
He plopped him right in Nineveh. Like, he...
Yeah. Which is actually...
The fish, like...
Oh my gosh.
Brought him all the way. He's like, bloop.
Cut that out. Bro.
Yeah.
Speaking... if we could transition into... What else starts with the N? New York.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If we wanna,
yeah,
should I?
Yeah, I think,
yeah,
we should.
Because, mm-hmm, I feel like Alyssa, how her story was, you know, the first part of Jonah, where, yeah, I feel like I kind of ended up towards the last part of Jonah, mm-hmm, with just my calling, and I don't know, we kind of talked about this on our first episode of, like, I had originally been like, I'm going to go to New York and be a big lawyer and do all these things. I wanted to have kids, but I was like, I'm going to have them, like, by myself. I had no plans of getting married. Don't ask me where that came from. And I just had this whole, like, plan out for myself. And I had had this, like, gut feeling the last time before I went back to the part of Long Island I was staying in. And I kind of ignored it. Just because I was, like, I don't know, it was, like, scary. Kind of, mm-hmm, like, in a similar sense. Obviously, Jonah's also came from a place of, like, anger towards, like, they don't deserve it. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of just, like, I don't really know what to do. And I don't know, it was just hard. And I ended up going back to New York. And then next thing I know, I was plopped right back home. And I was, like...
Mm-hmm. She had a total shift. Like, what made, yeah, you... Was it just one day...
Yeah, it was just one day, but I feel like it was a collection of these random one days of, like, oh, and then another oh, mm-hmm, you know what I mean, mm-hmm, where I was like, first my heart posture changed and I found myself, like, really loving people, which was weird because, like I said, I'm very, like, in my shell, like, I don't, mm-hmm, and I always had this view of, like, all people are evil, and, mm-hmm, we all have a degree of something, but not all people are evil. And so all of a sudden I found myself, like, conversing with strangers, and I was like, wow, I really like people, I want to help people. And the next thing I know, I'm like, I kind of want to heal people. And then maybe this career isn't for me, and maybe this brings outside of me, and God has more of a purpose for me. And I just started listening to his voice, and it took me on a whole journey of lawyer to doctor to nurse, and just maybe I should be a doctor again, and all these things. But, like, through it all, I've kind of learned to just listen to God and not myself, which is kind of similar to Jonah. Like, I don't know, I haven't really thought of it, like, in an analogy type of way, like, was New York my fish, was it my, mm-hmm, Nineveh, like, I don't know, because, mm-hmm, I haven't gone that deep into it, but I just know it's similar in the sense of, like, places maybe I was running from my, like, true purpose, or maybe even times where I wasn't even still enough to listen to God's voice, I was just doing what I wanted, and kind of where that ended me up. And then, you know, I listened to his voice, and it took me right back to square one. Like, I'm, mm-hmm, back home, and not even upset about it. I'm like, okay, like, you want me working at my old job and you want me taking classes at this school, like, okay.
But you listened to him.
Yeah, that's what I meant to bring up, where I was really iffy on should I leave New York, which is crazy because now it's so simple to me. I'm like, yeah, like, I left. But at the time, it was so hard.
Yeah, because, I mean, she... You know, she was living there, going to school, like, classes. Yeah,
I just had a lot. I don't even want to say... No, I did have a lot going for me. Like, I was in this organization. I had a good role in it. I was actually... I wouldn't say I was on the podcast, but we had, like, a... It was, like, a substance abuse awareness group slash podcast called the Play It Forward Project. Love them. And I had... I don't know. I don't know if I'd call her my mentor, but to me, I always looked up to her, sweetest woman, Allison. Aww. Yeah, and I met her right when I was starting to love people. She was, oh my gosh, I love this woman. And she, you know, I met her, and she's talking about how she teaches piano, and I played piano. She had blonde hair and bangs, so I was like, you're me. And it just took me, and I felt like I had someone in New York, and she even took me to the urgent care once, like, when I didn't have a car. Yeah. So, you know, I started to feel at home there, and... just all the stuff I was doing, my classes, my major, my groups. I got an amazing role at a hospital in Manhattan to work with oncology patients. Like, I had everything lined up. I even got, something I had been stuck in, I got rid of it specifically for that job. So all these things, and I was still unfulfilled.
Yeah, wow. And God, I feel like, will give you what you think you want to show you that's not what you want.
Yes, and he did that with me. All I talked about, I want to leave my home. But I want to be far.
The fact that you, like, listened to that, because you were in a whole other state. Yeah. All by herself. Like, all my stuff. Yeah, and just the fact that you had everything lined up for you. Everything was perfect. And you listened to that thought, though, like, well, maybe I'm not supposed to be doing this, but you listened to that because God had a different purpose for you. Even though everything was perfect, you had to trust him in the unknown and just leave it all behind.
Yeah.
And, like, just go.
Let it go, yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't... A big thing for me back then was I can't let my ego control me. Like, and I can't put my ego above God. Like, I definitely had thoughts back then, which... thank God I haven't thought about these in forever, but oh, what are people gonna think? You know, my fear of man is something I kind of struggle with, not as much, but that does not matter. It's what does God think? Or oh, I'm leaving all this behind, but if I'm here and I don't have Jesus, what am I leaving behind?
Exactly,
all these things. And then I remember I used to go to this church by myself up there. I would literally drive an hour.
Wow.
Yeah, because I just... let me not hate on Long Island, I love it, but it was just not... it was very different for me. And like, get in my little Corolla and drive myself all the way there, go by myself. I'd always have the people pray for me there because I was just so struggling. And I lived with five other girls. We didn't even have air conditioning. It was like an interesting place to live. And I remember one day I was like, okay, I'm gonna start fasting, like, here and there, because I was like, I need to, like, I just needed it. I was, like, so surrounded by all these things, and I would always fast on Sundays. That was, like, my thing. And, like, I remember when I was really trying to decide, not decide if I should leave, but I needed to hear if I should leave. And I was at the church service doing my little fast, and I just heard go. I was like, what? Because I think we were doing something where they said to close your eyes and pray. I don't remember. It was something like that, because I wasn't eating, so I don't really... my mind was kind of not as sharp as it normally is, but... I remember hearing go, and I was like, okay, I guess I'm going. Like, this is it. And it really made no sense to me at the time. And I thought I was going to go straight to Texas.
Wow.
So he had other plans, obviously, but thank God he did. And from there, I kind of just, I was, okay, I'm going to go. Told my mom, told everyone, planned everything, packed my stuff up, said my goodbyes, and drove 24 hours back home. And yeah, I feel like I've been... as obedient as I can be since. Like, I'm trying my best. Because he saved me. Like, as much as I wouldn't say this is, like, my forever place, because I don't feel, you know what I mean? But I'm fulfilled spiritually, whereas there I wasn't. Because I was out of alignment with his plan.
And now you're with your family, you know, you're with surrounded by people that actually care about you.
Yeah. And speak life into me.
Exactly.
That was a big thing for me there. I just felt like I was... I don't know, I feel like I was always being tore down, and I'm not saying it was people intentionally doing that or being mean to me or nothing of the sort, but that's just kind of how I felt. I don't really
just felt like out of kind of like out of place. Yeah, yeah. An outcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you weren't meant to fit in there.
No. And mm-hmm. that's fine. And yeah. I don't know, I feel like people just didn't understand mm-hmm. me. I had a lot, like, I love the people there.
Yeah.
If I could I would name out every single person there and every single mm-hmm. thing I love about them, and I miss them, and like I would love to see them again, but I don't think I was meant to be that close and living mm-hmm. there, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it just wasn't, I wasn't as happy.
God had a purpose, though.
Yeah, he turned my 17-year-old stupid decision into like this life-changing crazy thing, and now I get to be like, yeah, yeah, kids, mom left for a little, like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, God bless. Yeah. But
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very true. Please. It also goes, like, even though you may feel a type of way, like, God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so crazy. That's like the same thing of like, even back then, like when I switched to the medical field, I wouldn't say I was qualified at all.
Yeah.
I'd spent years and years, you know, I'm going to do political science. My dad was a lawyer. I'd go to the courthouse. I knew nothing about medical.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. And next thing I know, I'm put in all these positions. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. It was so mm-hmm. crazy. And I found it interesting. And like so many other people who probably applied to these things, but for whatever reason, I was mm-hmm. put there.
Just like with Moses, when God came to him and told him, you know, go to Pharaoh and, you know, tell him, let my people go. And he was like, I'm not, like, I can't, I, you know, I think he had a stuttering problem. And God was like, I will be with you. So you have nothing to worry about. No matter how you feel,
mm-hmm.
if he is calling you to do something, then
you got it.
That's all you need. Mm-hmm. God with you, you're capable. You could do anything.
And he does not give you a spirit of fear.
Exactly.
I always say that. That's like the point where I was supposed to fly to New York, or let's say fly back here, like for your baptism, big mm-hmm. moments in my life and in your life that we were supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if anyone doesn't know this, I'm deathly afraid of planes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
remember that woman?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I'll bring that up. Yeah. I remember God would comfort me on the planes, and I would tell Alyssa to, remember I'd ask you to send me scripture? Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
It was like one time before I flew, I'm like, send me everything you know.
Yeah.
And I'm on Google, and there was one, I don't remember exactly, just because I didn't memorize them, I would just stare at the phone, but just about, you know, he will deliver me safely from here to there.
Mm-hmm.
My lock screen, oh my gosh, let me show you guys. I have it changed right now, but I think I still, yeah, I do. I have John 3:16 with like Jesus on a cross, if you could see.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I would fly, I would hear, keep your eyes on me, keep your eyes on me. So I would look at Jesus on the cross. Aww. Yeah. And it would comfort me. Like, I was always scared of flying, but he held my hand.
I just got chills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the one really big time that Alyssa just reminded me, I was, you know, flying, and this woman, she reminds me so much of Alyssa's mom. I remember that's the first thing I thought.
Aww.
Yeah, she sat next to me, and this water from the plane was, like, dripping on her.
Maybe from the AC thing.
Yeah, something happened, and the flight attendants, oh my gosh. I was flying Frontier, and I really don't like Frontier, so last time I did, because it's just, like, the worst experience of my life.
Mm.
So I'm sitting here, like, of course Frontier's doing this to us. And this poor woman, she's like, there's water dripping on me. I'm like, I'm so sorry, ma'am. And the plane starts taking off. And so, you know, I'm scared. I want to cry and, like, grip the seats, but I got to help this woman. And I'm like, can someone come over here? And we're trying to help her. And I'm, like, wiping her stuff down for her. And I'm like, oh, you know. And then afterwards, when we're, like, going up, that's my least favorite part. God, oh, my gosh, my heart's, like, beating right now. And I don't know what I said, but she said something. I'm like, yeah, I'm so scared of planes. And she was like, no, honey, like, God is with us. Like, we have to trust, like, he's gonna bring us up, and you just sit back and let him handle it. And I was like, wow.
Wow, God sent him to you.
Yeah, I was like, this is so comforting, and I never get comforted on a plane. Yeah. I literally look crazy. Like, eyes open out the window. Every time the plane, because, you know, they can't just turn, they have to tilt.
Right, yes.
Whoever made that up, I have a bone to pick with you, because I, oh my gosh, I just hate it so much. But you know, that was the first time. Like,
God is in control.
Yeah, and so. He was. And then she offered to buy me a drink. I was like, aww. I think I was 18. I was like, oh, I'm 18. She's like, oh my gosh. And she's like, thank you for being honest and not just taking. I was like, yes, ma'am. Like, honesty. You know, yeah, honesty. Yeah. We'll do an episode on that. But yeah, that just changed my life. And I think after that, every time I flew, I'd listen to worship music. And that was, like, my favorite thing. I would...
That is so comforting. Honestly, yeah. I love worship music. Me too. That's all I've been listening to lately. And it really puts you in such a better mood because songs and, like, tunes have, like, energies to them, like, the frequencies. And worship is, like, the best thing you can listen to.
And it just makes you grateful.
Yes.
I would always listen. I know I went through phases of, like, my favorite songs, but I used to listen to, like, rap songs when I would fly, which is like, why would I do that? Because it would like, they'd be talking about like drugs and killing people and having sex, and I was like,
that frequency will bring you
so low. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, why am I anxious on the plane? But then I, you know that song Made for More, but I would listen to like the one guy who sings it, and I would like, every time the plane would take off, I'd like set it up so it would be right then. I was like, yeah, like I wasn't meant to be tending a grave. Like I'm in the air right now and I'm safe. Yeah.
And you were doing what God called you to do.
Yeah.
So it was like you had comfort in that. And then, yeah.
And you faced your fear.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Never again. Well, let me not say that. He's going to put me back on a plane soon and I know it.
Ah, yeah.
Jesus.
It's okay.
Yeah, I hate it so much. But I was actually, it's funny, my boyfriend's Nana last night was talking about how she has an irrational fear as well. Oh. And she was like, I know it's not from God. I know who it's from. And I was
Exactly. Yeah. That's also another thing. I'm so glad you brought that up. Like, no matter, like, if you're having feelings of doubt or like just uneasy fear, that's not from God.
Yeah. So that's like, oh my gosh,
negative thoughts, not all of that.
Even the people on the ship, you know, being scared. Mm. And even think back to, it was Peter, right, who was like scared on the during the storm.
Yes, Simon Peter.
And like that doubt of being like, oh my gosh, but then it's like,
but literally Jesus said, keep your eye on me.
Yeah, and that's why.
So true.
That's what I would tell myself.
Even when you're in a storm, your savior walks on water. I love saying that. Like, it's
true, though.
So I think really what you can ask yourself, honestly, with your calling, it's like you could ask yourself, what is stopping you from taking action from what God is calling you to do? And just honestly ask yourself that. You know, be open with God. What is it that is making you afraid or doubt? Because God can do the impossible. Yeah. So no matter what it is, despite how you're feeling, all that matters is that he is with you and he will take you through it. He's not going to make you go through it alone.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, having peace in that and just not having to stress about it because he already has it taken care of. He has it under control. And he won't leave you, ever. Mm-hmm. He will never leave you.
One person who won't.
Mm-hmm. Even when you run, clearly, he's chasing after you. He's like, no. Yeah. This is what I have for you.
That's what I feel like happened to me. I'm, like, running to New York. And I wouldn't say, like, because I wasn't at a point where I heard God. It wasn't like I was, you know, I'm going to obey God. But, like, you know how you can take that level of discernment and be like, okay, like, in the word, like, you know, we're called to be fruitful and multiply. Mm-hmm. You know, your family's important, all these things, and I'm running from family and marriage and love and all these good things and running towards all these bad things. So, you know, it was still wrong in his eyes, but he chased me all the way to Stony Brook, Long Island, and saved my life.
Yeah.
And he's found Alyssa in her little piece of job. And that woman, you know? Like, it's intentional. It's super intentional.
Yeah.
And he'll find you anywhere. I've been found in the back of a Carvel. Like,
so true.
Yeah. Like, he's always with you, even in, like, in your worst times and times where you think it's so silly.
And looking back, too, at, like, some of your worst moments and knowing, like, you see God was there the whole time. And
even before I believed fully,
Exactly. Even when you're, you know, in the midst of your sin and you're, you know, falling back into temptations or whatever that may look like for you, like, he was still with you, and he was still, like, just waiting there.
Yeah.
Like a little coffee shop, just waiting.
He's so cute.
Yeah. He is so cute. I do, too. Like, I can't explain it. I was talking about this earlier, but there was one time when I was door dashing food. Oh. And I was getting tacos, and I never door dash food because I just never do. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I usually get these like chicken tacos, and I really wanted these bang bang shrimp tacos because they sounded really good in the moment, but I was like, I don't want to spend the money on both tacos that I'm like not gonna eat. And I had asked my mom, I'm like, hey, will you, you know, if I get this, will you eat some? She's like, no, I'm not really hungry. I'm like, okay. So I had both of them in my shopping cart, and I took the shrimp ones out because I was like, I'd rather be safe with something that I like than get something new. And so I got it, and then I remember when it came, quick timing too, and I opened it, and there's two sets of tacos in my bag, and I'm like, that's weird. And I open them, it's the chicken tacos and then the shrimp tacos. And I checked the receipt, and it does not say anything about the shrimp tacos. And I was like, no way. Of all things that they could have accidentally put, it was the ones that I wanted. And I was like, that's only God. And I didn't even pay. Like, so it just blew my mind.
Were they good?
Oh, my gosh. It was so amazing. Like, God just spoiled me so bad. And
because you're his daughter.
Yeah, exactly. Like, God will show you how you're meant to be treated.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
So, like,
I love that man.
It makes my heart flutter.
Yeah.
He's so sweet.
And like, you know when he's encountering you.
Yes.
I have a whole story, but I'm going to tell it when we do our grief episode.
Mm.
I'm going to tell it, but, like, mm-hmm. I've had similar situations where it's, mm-hmm. like, things that just don't make sense. And, like, I don't want to say I don't understand how people couldn't believe, because I've been at a point where I didn't, so I don't want to be out there, like, claiming these things. But when we've experienced such, like, profound. Crazy things, mm-hmm. yeah, so
that
profound.
That could only be him.
Yeah. And, yeah. like, it's one thing if, you know, you get one thing, you could be, oh, it's a coincidence. After, like, the 20th thing, thank you, Jesus, I see you everywhere, like.
Literally, yes.
It's just crazy.
That was another thing. So my brother had passed away recently back in Thanksgiving, and I remember I wasn't in town when he passed, and on the drive home the next day, I was just crying, obviously, but I remember asking God to show me a rainbow, because I was like, I need to know, like, even though I knew he was with me, it's so nice to be reminded,
yeah.
and there was no chance of there being a rainbow. It was sunny, like, not rainy, like, nothing. And I look up, like, 5 minutes later, and there's literally a rainbow. And I just started crying, yeah. and I was just like, it's gonna be okay, even though it's something to navigate that I've never been, you know, been through before. But just trusting him and knowing that he's there, he's in control, and so.
Yeah, and he'll carry you.
Mm-hmm.
I think I always say this, like, in your lowest points, especially grief, is when you'll see him the most.
Yes, exactly, because the light shines the brightest in the dark.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and, you know, those who mourn will be comforted, I feel like.
Yeah.
He will show up, and sometimes, like, even though we have faith, he also recognizes that we're human beings, like.
Yeah.
It's just nice to get a physical,
mm-hmm.
visual thing
exactly.
sometimes.
Oh my gosh, and this just reminded me. So the other night I was crying, you know, about Nick and my brother. And I was in the car, and for so long now, like, whenever I'm like that and I'm outside, I was just in the car parked in front of the house, and I was just looking up at the sky, and I was like, God, I just need to know you see me. Can you just please show me a shooting star or something?
Did he?
No, but this okay. isn't, like, I always, I know one day he will show me a shooting star when Dude, I ask.
Finishers and then, oh my gosh, okay. he'll go.
But no, literally, and like, I was just waiting, and I'm just looking up, and I'm just crying, and I'm just like, God, please, like, I know you see me, but I just want you to tell me, and literally, the song that played next, the first words was, I see you, child, though you Aww. Can't see me. Mind you, I have like 100 worship songs in my playlist.
Yeah. Oh my and gosh,
that,
yeah.
But just the timing, it was just like, that was even more intimate than him showing me a shooting star.
That's so beautiful. I was just literally the other night, it's crazy you said that, I was crying, looking up, asking for a shooting star.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm like, oh my gosh.
Did he show you one?
No. But it's funny, like, the shooting star, like, aw. He probably was looking at both of us, like, y'all are apart and still being annoying. No, but it's real. We, yeah. I had one time, I was, and then, last story of mine, because I have crazy stories, but I don't want to bring him this episode, but I had been asking about my boyfriend when I was in New York, really upset, and I was like looking at the sky, and like I wasn't asking for anything at that point, but I love space and I love the stars, and I always have, but now that I know he made them, I'm like, it's even more beautiful. Yeah. And that was my first time seeing a shooting star, like, I'm wow. praying, I'm like, is he the one? And I was like, Aww. boom. Yeah. And yes. I literally cried in that. I, like, wrote this whole letter to my boyfriend. I was like, this is the night I knew I loved you. Because we hadn't even said it yet.
Wow.
Yeah. And I saw the star. So it's crazy you brought that wow. up. Because it's so, like, yeah. Beautiful.
But, like, I had said, I was like, you know, even if you don't show me a shooting star, I know you're still there. I know that yeah. doesn't determine it. Just the way I felt. And just the fact that he still showed
still
up
did, yeah.
through the song. Yeah. And it was just more intimate than what I was even asking for.
Which is crazy. That also shows, like, he knows more mm-hmm. what we need than we do.
Exactly.
And, like, the mm-hmm. world will tell you, like, it's you, your body, you know yourself, it's your choice, all these things. But you also have to remember, like, we are not perfect and we don't know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we run, like, you know, a lot of the physical parts of this world, and look what's happened.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like we are more broken, more depressed than ever before.
Oh, we are. Our generation is the most substance abusing, mm-hmm. depressed, mm-hmm. addicted,
anxious, yeah.
angry generation. Like, we, mm-hmm. it's crazy.
Yeah.
And you just have to be very careful.
Especially with who you surround yourself with.
Yeah, iron sharpens iron, but in the reverse way. Like, bad company corrupts good character.
Yeah.
And, like, you can be strong, but only so long. Like, we're not saying you need to cut off people necessarily. Like, don't go and, well, you're not a Christian, so goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
Yeah.
No.
Because sometimes you are the only Bible that yep. people will read.
I love when you say that. It's true.
Just getting in my head.
No, it's yeah. so true. And it's like,
like, those people, like, they definitely, they need you in a way. Like, obviously, you don't have to, you know, constantly be around them and, like, yeah. have those people as your close circle,
mm-hmm.
but just...
To reach out.
Yeah.
Pray over them.
Mm-hmm. They, yeah, especially praying over them, mm-hmm. because prayer reaches God in just ways you can't even imagine, and especially in the spiritual realm, like, you can't see it, but, like, every prayer, especially when two or more are gathered, they, like... God sees those. He yeah. see. I mean, he sees and hears all your prayers, all your thoughts, but just, he really does listen.
Mm-hmm.
And even if nothing happens immediately, like, patience and just yeah. time, because God knows. God's timing is perfect.
And he knows best. If even if it's not answered in your way, it will be answered.
Exactly.
And sometimes no answer is an answer.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm out here praying, God, give me money to stay in New York. And I also had that moment where he was like, I could do that for you, but is this, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Like,
sometimes you think you know what's best and, like, what you want, but it's not what you need, and God will always give you what you need, not what you want, because yeah. sometimes what you want will break you,
yeah.
and it will hurt you.
And sometimes he'll let it.
Yeah.
It looks different for everyone. You can't mm-hmm. look at someone's story and directly put it towards yours, like, well, this person got saved from that, why am I not saved from that? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's your thorn, like what Paul writes about. Maybe that's the thing that keeps you reliant on God, mm-hmm. whereas it's different.
Or like even conviction, like if say like you have a friend who's doing something and say you guys used to partake in that, but they don't feel convicted about it, and you, do, you know.
And we've had times like that, mm-hmm. like me and Alyssa will be in agreement on something, and then we'll kind of go like this,
yeah,
and we'll be in agreement, and always, unarguably, it's better when we're both like this, yeah. and we're sharpening each other, yes. but we're human beings, mm-hmm. and it's also important the way we go about it with each other. We're not exactly. condemning each other,
but out of love, redirecting, you know,
mm-hmm. and just also having an open mind, like if mm-hmm. she came to me and was like, maybe the way you're talking is not the most Christ-like right now. Because you're, so, you know, you need to model Christ, especially, not that you're mm-hmm. an unbeliever, but two, if you have unbeliever friends.
Right, exactly.
And if I'm sitting here with the closed heart being like, well, who is she to tell me that? Am I ever going to get my heart posture corrected as easily as I could if I was open-minded? Mm-hmm. And like, this is my sister yeah. in Christ. Who yeah. cares about me? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just,
yeah. yeah. No, for sure.
But yeah.
Wow. All right, well, wow, that was like really good. I feel so good. Like,
yeah,
like
we started down here and now we're
yeah
over.
I feel like God was really speaking to all of us, honestly, because yeah. I looked at, like, I mean, you always say things that make me look at things from a new perspective.
Same with so. You and I hope if you're watching this and you feel like it's about you, it is.
Yeah, if you, you know,
I hope we touched you. Or mm-hmm. I hope he used us to touch you.
Yeah, me too. All right, so we're going to pray. Pray us out.
You want to start?
Sure. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you again so much for just allowing us to be here, allowing Lizzie to be here and get me my coffee, because I love that. I just want to pray over everyone watching that, you know, it was your will that they were even here in the first place to even be listening to this, and just the fact that we were able to just speak about your word and just be here and connect and to give our experiences. And I just pray that we even have touched, if we had touched even just one person, Lord, listening, and that they would look at their heart posture and that they would just think and look to you for whatever circumstances that they may be going through, and that whatever uncertainty that they're going through in their life, that they would just look to you, that they would trust you, and that no matter what they're going through, no matter how they're feeling, that they would just listen to you and what you are calling them to do. And I just want to pray over their heart and their mind, that whatever the enemy is throwing at them, or whatever just depression, anxiety, anything that they may be going through, that you would speak to them and that they would hear your voice, Lord, and just be comforted by you.
Jesus, I just want to pray that you could just purify the heart and the minds of anybody listening so that it's quiet enough for them to hear your voice over all the mm-hmm. just negative thoughts that come with just everyday life living in this world, God. I pray that they don't feel like they need to run from you in the way Jonah did, but that they can come to you as they are and be washed clean. Just that they know that they actually are and have been washed clean by your blood, God, and that they would just know you and just be honest with you, not be ashamed or condemned, and just know that that's not your voice, that your voice is a voice of conviction, love, and grace, not condemnation, shame, and fear. Mm-hmm. And that, kind of like Alyssa said, that we could just touch one person that's struggling, running, hiding, that they just happen to come across this video and that it just opened their heart, and that they know that we're praying for them, you're with them, you're watching them, that they're safe with you, that they can face anything, that you're near them. And I just pray that everyone has a blessed week and mm-hmm. just continues to chase after you, keeps their eyes on you. Any fear, God, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Any irrational mm-hmm. fear, all of that, the spirit of fear in general, that it would just be gone, that it was defeated on the cross all those years ago, and that you're just here, you're watching, you're listening, and you just love all your people. And mm-hmm. I just hope everyone knows that above all, it's just love and grace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was beautiful. We pray this all in your mighty, holy, lovely name, Jesus. Amen. All right, so to close this out, we're going to read Psalm 23.
Yeah, we forgot to read it last episode, yeah, but we thought it. We always think this.
We were in a rush because I had to go to work, unfortunately.
And we both just keep sleeping in. But
yeah.
Okay, I'm going to start it off, verses 1 through 4, and Alyssa will pick it up and end the episode for us. Okay. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
I love it.
David, David, love him.
We were just talking about him yesterday in Bible study.
Yes, we were, and just how, even though he did some things that really wasn't, you know, like, he was good, and then he did some things, and but God still used him, he still had a plan, like, despite him doing some things that humans, you know, tend to just do.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Well, this was lovely talking.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out with us and God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we just, we love you.
Yeah.
But Jesus loves you more.
And we'll see you next week.
Yeah, have a blessed week.
Yes, we love you.
Yeah, love you.